Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Hi, welcome to the show. But before we get started, let's talk about our Patreon page at patreon.com/Bob Seska Show. Here's the deal. The Bob Seska Show is almost entirely fueled by our Patreon subscribers, and we couldn't do 4+ shows per week without your generous financial support. If you dig what you hear today, please consider signing up for just $1 per month or maybe even $5 per month on our Patreon page. Depending on your pledge, you'll get all kinds of bonus content from me and my troop of co-hosts. Plus, it's the best place to contact me in person as we continue to post exclusive content like our postmortem shows twice per week, as well as the Friday After Party podcast and commercial-free versions of this podcast. So get going. Again, that's bobseskashow.com or just click the all caps Patreon link beneath the logo at bobseska.com. And now let the cartoons begin.
Recorded live in the USA, covering the whole wide world.
Right on!
This is the Bob Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature, Mr. Beal, and I won't have it! You are an old man who thinks in terms of nations and peoples. There are no nations. There are no peoples. There are no Russians. There are no Arabs. There are no third worlds. There is no West. There is only one holistic system of systems. One vast and immane, interwoven, interacting, multivariate, multinational dominion of dollars. Petrodollars, electrodollars, multidollars, Reichmarks, rands, rubles, pounds, and shekels. It is the international system of currency which determines the totality of life on this planet. That is the natural order of things today. And you have meddled with the primal forces of nature! Am I getting through to you, Mr. Beal? There is no America. There is no democracy. There is only IBM and ITT and AT&T and DuPont, Dow, Union Carbide, and Exxon. Those are the nations of the world today.
Bob Seska!
Ladies and gentlemen, take my advice. Pull down your pants and slide on the ice.
The Bob Seska Show.
Wow. The late Ned Beatty. Performing the words of Patty Chayefsky. That is an utter classic from Network, of course. From our nation's capital, it is Tuesday, June 22nd, 2021. And this is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hi, what's up? My name is Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Day 154 of the Biden-Harris administration. 503 days until the 22 midterms. Find me on Instagram at TheBobSeska and on Twitter at BobSeska_go. And let's bring him in. It's Mr. Buzz Burbank.
And you say Buzz Burbank.
Yep.
Yeah.
You've said it all.
There he is. Hi.
Yeah, well, you tell them I'm not playing Wimbledon this year, okay?
All right, gotcha.
Oh, sorry. Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Bob. Hi, everybody.
Yep.
He is Bob. Mm-hmm. I am Buzz. And we are your fourth and fifth choices in the New York mayor's race. Mm-hmm. Hey, you know what's great about this week's jokes?
What?
They're not last week's jokes.
Hey, I thought last week's jokes were great. I thought they were excellent.
A lot of people thought we should do a show today, but first we had to vote on whether we should even discuss doing a show. Bob tried to filibuster it, so I tabled the motion, and we went back to our districts where people pressured us to have the vote, and, well, here we are. Kind of a performance piece, wasn't it?
Yeah.
We were planning on serving refreshments for today's show, but some Catholic bishops said we couldn't.
I love my old religion. Man, oh man.
The Supreme Court, meanwhile, has ruled that college athletes can now profit from their hard work.
Nice.
Now we await the court's decision on podcasters. With the
I'm not holding my breath.
No. With the pandemic subsiding, yeah. Condom sales are up by double digits this year. People who refuse to wear masks are putting on condoms.
Yeah.
Republicans are so alarmed they're now trying to ban condom passports.
Man, I have mine. It fits right in my wallet. Yeah.
Against the advice of health officials, the Tokyo Olympics is going to allow 10,000 people into the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
But they're being told not to cheer.
Wow.
In other words, it's going to sound a lot like this show. The Bob Seska Show.
All right, here comes the latest from the great Rocky Mountain Mike.
Yep.
This is the day of the annoying man. That hole on the stage, there where he used to stand.
I wonder who he was singing about. Was that? I can't quite place who that was about.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Him yeah. again. The great him Rocky again. Mountain Mike. Rocky underscore Mountain underscore Mike on Instagram. Go follow him now. Shit. Buzz.
Yes?
I went to not one, but two restaurants over the weekend, which is the first time I've been in a restaurant since, oh, I want to say February of 2020,
yeah,
and certainly the first time I've been anywhere without a mask. Oh, my God. It was fun. I met my mom on Saturday for lunch. We had lunch, and then we saw some historic sites around Fredericksburg, Virginia. That was fun. And then on Monday, I had lunch with my dad at a diner near his place. And great. In both occasions, I'm sitting there in the booth without a mask going, oh, man. Oh, man. I knew
you'd be stressed.
Yeah. But, I'm vaccinated. I shouldn't be scared. I should be completely comfortable in a situation like that. And my dad's been vaccinated. My mom's been vaccinated. They've both been vaccinated. So why am I so nervous about this shit?
Because, yeah, you know what? I think some of it is it's like a touch of PTSD for a lot of us.
Yes.
And some people have even offered that up as the reason we're seeing so much anger in grocery checkout lines and on airplanes.
Yeah.
That some of this is a PTSD reaction
mm-hmm.
to being locked up and then not being locked up. A lot of us this month are doing things for the first time in 15 months.
Yes.
This is a very, as I said, I think some weeks back, in some ways, transitioning out of this might be harder than transitioning into it.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
And I know your anxiety about this, but I also know that you have the good sense not to walk into a crowded shop without a mask.
In fact,
I'm not sure you would even walk into a crowded shop. I wouldn't.
No.
With or without a mask. Too many people in too small a space is too inviting for a virus.
Yeah.
And especially... we've got this variant now in 49 states, and although the vaccines are proving very effective against getting this, people are falling sick. The IT department of the state of Florida had to shut down this week because everyone in the building contracted COVID-19, except one guy. And you know why that one guy didn't get it? Because he was the only one who had been vaccinated.
Wow.
Everybody Jesus. Else in the Republican Florida IT department has passed on the opportunity to take the vaccine. But this one guy did take it. And he's the only guy in his building, and two people in that building have died.
Well,
and this has all happened in the last month.
Yeah.
So we're seeing, you know, I mean, we're seeing what happens to people who get vaccinated and people who don't get vaccinated. A lot of us saw the video this week of Vice President Harris speaking and saying of the people now hospitalized with COVID-19, the vast majority of them have not been vaccinated.
Yeah,
the people who got vaccinated are not, for the most part, showing up in hospitals, with rare exception.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this variant, which is now in 49 of our 50 states.
That's right.
There's reason to see. We're seeing wonderful numbers right now. Yesterday's death count was fewer than 300. We only lost nearly 300 people yesterday. So that's
300.
Yeah, Jesus. It's hard to get excited about that because that's like a plane crash every day. Still a small plane, perhaps, but nevertheless, we're losing too many people even at this lowest number.
Yeah,
and there's every reason to believe that number has not only leveled off, but maybe headed back up again because of this variant and because of the people who aren't getting vaccinated, to which I would like to also add, young people are of great concern here because what we're finding is that as time goes on and everything begins to look more normal again, young people see even less reason to get vaccinated.
That's right.
That's wrong.
Yeah. I want to come back to the PTSD thing here in just
a
second.
There's a lot to unpack there.
One of the weirdest things is where I met up with my mom in Fredericksburg, Virginia, felt really far south to me.
Yeah.
And that was what was concerning me, because I feel like the farther south you go, the least vaccinated the people are going to be.
Absolutely. And that is true. That's a good rule of thumb. The farther you get away from an urban area, the less vaccinated people are going to be.
Yeah.
There are counties where the cases are surging again, and the vaccination rate is only 30-some percent.
There are
states where the vaccination rate is about that low.
Mm-hmm.
In my own state, Florida, nothing to brag about. We're at 55%, so we're not on the list of endangered states, but we could be.
Yeah.
That's why we have to continue pushing the vaccine.
And Virginia, I think, is only having, I don't know, something like 114 daily new cases, something along those lines. I know my county in particular up further north is, I think in single digits as far as new cases, which is great. It's great news. But you can tell just as you go further south, there's more and more daily cases as they go. And that's, you know, it's red hats trying to own the libs by not being vaccinated or whatever the justification is.
Or, still the stupid arguments about I have a strong immune system. You know, F you, it isn't about you. Shut up.
And so I had a really nice time with both of my parents individually.
Wonderful.
But the whole time I'm sitting there, I'm in the booth with my mom. I'm facing the kitchen at the diner, and I see these kids in the kitchen with the masks down, like under their noses or not even on at all, and they're preparing the food. And mind you, I've only eaten food for the past year and a half almost that was prepared either by myself or by Kimberly. I have not eaten any food. I mean, other than the one occasion when I went to my mom's house over the Memorial Day weekend, but even still, that was after I was vaccinated. But during that entire lockdown for all of 2020 practically and into 2021, I was only eating food here in my house. And then I was suddenly eating food and putting coffee cups up to my mouth. And the whole time I'm going, okay, I got to be rational about this. But at the same time, it's still occurring to me.
That's the PTSD, I think, because we know now, we know from science that surface contact is not how this is passed along.
Right.
Be afraid if that chef, that cook, let's be fair, be afraid if that cook comes out of the kitchen and within 6 feet of you without a mask and you don't know whether they're vaccinated or not. But if they're in the kitchen, they're just the likelihood of them infecting your food or your plate or your coffee cup is slim to none.
Yeah, I noticed the one guy went. Yeah. Was that bad? Was that should he have not done that in the kitchen?
You know, that's never good. I have a friend.
I'm joking,
we,
of course.
I have some friends. That. We were going to go out for dinner tonight, and she's suffering some respiratory difficulty because of allergies and stuff. She doesn't react well to them, and so she's a little phlegmy and a little coffee right now. and we were going to go out to dinner this evening, and we've decided to call it off because it would frighten other people.
Well, wasn't didn't we do a morning show back in 78, Flemmy and Coffee in the morning?
Yes. Yeah. That was a very popular popular program.
Well, you know, the assumption is that everyone who's maskless is vaccinated. But
That's not my assumption.
Yeah, well, I know. I mean, two separate thoughts running through my head. Well, I guess that person's maskless, so he must be vaccinated. And at the same time, I'm going, wait a minute, I'm too damn cynical to trust people to be honest about this shit. So I'm assuming that some of the people who are maskless are just maskless because they think they can get away with it now.
It's a bit ironic. There was a time we didn't trust people who wear masks, and now we don't trust people. We only trust them if they do.
Right. So as I was driving to my mom's place, I love to listen to the Marc Maron podcast.
Right.
It's one of my favorite podcasts. And I was listening to him, and it was right before he interviewed Gabe Kaplan, which was utterly fascinating to hear about Gabe Kaplan's pre-Welcome Back Kotter years. Now, like, everyone younger than 40 right now is turning to another podcast. But yeah, it was an entertaining show. But Marc Maron, as his opening monologue, he always does a bit of a monologue before he interviews his guest. And in this case, he was talking about PTSD as a consequence of the past year, where we literally spent a year, especially those of us who, you know, made the sacrifice and locked ourselves down for all of that time. You know, we spent that entire year, you know, doing things like letting our groceries sit on the front stoop for a period of time before we even looked at them or touched them. You know what I mean? Yeah. Because we were concerned about contact surface.
You guys were especially strict. Fomites. I would send you packages, and you would not touch them for X number of hours.
Yeah, Buzz, your box is sitting by the front door. It's in quarantine right now. I can't touch it. And that's the God's honest truth. That's what I was doing for the longest. I'd order something from Amazon, or you send me gifts, which is so nice. And
I do.
It's such a nice surprise. But at the same time, we're going, all right, we got to quarantine these things. So we'd just leave them set and hope that the whatever fomites were on the packages, if there were any, would just die themselves. But the point is that, you know, we went through all of this sacrifice, plus the harrowing daily process of following a fascist dictator in the White House, that uneasy feeling of feeling like you're falling back in your falling backwards in your chair perpetually.
PTSD from that as well, of course.
Plus then all the turmoil after the election and the insurrection, and, you know, people in California, Marc Maron was talking about people in California were waking up to, you know, the entire world on fire at the same time. And so you accumulate all these things. And I think this country, I think a lot of people in the world at large is suffering from PTSD because of all this shit.
They're acting crazy, Bob.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the thing is that what Marc Maron was saying is that the tendency in these situations is to forget about the past, to just move on and forget about it.
But we
have to deal with all of these things that are causing this PTSD. And you nailed it, Buzz, right out of the chute. I was noticing on my way to my mom's place, my way to meet with my dad, where I'm out on the highways, people are driving like maniacs, even more than before. Lots of people pulling right up behind you, where they're tailgating right on your ass, or they're speeding through traffic, zigzagging through traffic. I mean, there used to be that sort of thing before the pandemic, but now it seemed like it was more... How do I put this? More
Thunderdome?
Cereal. Yeah, it was more Thunderdome. That's right. It was more like Mad Max Fury Road. Mm-hmm. There was a guy, I saw a guy on the Beltway here in Washington, D.C. He had a flame-throwing guitar, and he was shooting it at people. And no, that was from a Mad Max movie. I'm starting to mix my reality and fantasy. Is that another sign of PTSD, I think?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I think it is. But so we do have to, as a nation, we do have to come to terms with these things. And one of the things we have to come to terms with is why there were 600,000 deaths because of this pandemic, why it was an uncontrolled pandemic, why we were forced to make all of these collective sacrifices, why many of us refused to make those collective sacrifices. And these are things that we have to resolve, plus obviously all the political turmoil that was going on at the same time, where there was an attack on our democracy, there was a violent invasion and occupation of the United States Capitol, and all the ramifications that are involved in that. And I think
there is a desire, because it was traumatic, there is a desire to try to move on from that, to try to forget it. And that's, as just Bob said, exactly the wrong thing to do.
You don't
cure a disease by ignoring it. And
we're
still infected from the trauma of those experiences, and they have to be addressed. We know this from therapy, from psychoanalysis, and that sort of thing. We know it, and we've learned it in so many different ways. But we need to realize that this is a form of PTSD that a lot of us on the right and left are experiencing, and we need to face that, just as we need to face the other traumatic events of our past, including our systemic racism.
Yeah, systemic racism. And look, we all faced deaths in the past year. We all know people. I had several friends who died from COVID. You lost your dad. You probably knew.
Exactly. I want to say this. I think, you know, and I haven't said this publicly before about concerning my dad.
Yeah.
He did contract COVID. Mm-hmm. I have a pretty good idea of who gave it to him.
Wow.
I know this person. I know who they are. Mm-hmm. And I know that this is the kind of thing they would do. And I believe, without proof, that they are the ones who infected my dad and my stepmom.
Yeah.
It shortened my, you know, he was 92. So, you know, I don't know how much time he had left. But I have to think, for the effect that I saw it have on him.
Yeah.
That he was hospitalized. Recovery was difficult, especially at age 92. Try to recover from a cut finger at 92.
Yeah, Jesus.
Recovering from something like COVID is even worse.
Mm.
He survived it very well mentally, but it took a huge toll on him physically. My stepmom, I think, still suffers some after effects that are perhaps permanent from having COVID.
But
she too was hospitalized. And, you know, we hope that she lives longer, but she is younger than my dad, but I've never said it, but yeah, COVID and perhaps Trump killed my, for so long, Fox News loving father.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I could name a bunch of people, Michael Latham, Cordell, everyone knows on my Facebook page, everyone knows Cordell. We lost Cordell to COVID. These are all casualties that I don't think needed to happen, but look, I mean, you're talking about your dad and your stepmom. Yeah, somebody gets 92 years old, as you said, a paper cut is damage to them.
Right.
I can't even. And to someone who is younger and healthier, getting COVID could potentially be long-term damage.
So lifelong,
it definitely takes a chunk out of you. It really, really does.
Physically and mentally.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And that doesn't even take into consideration the post-traumatic stress disorder suffered by people who got COVID and recovered from COVID.
I guess the bottom line here is, if you know somebody who's not vaccinated, make them get the shot.
That's right. That's right.
Don't give up until they do.
And I think one of the things that we're going to be talking about as we move along through this year, and maybe even into next year, is this ongoing theme of how we recover from this experience of 2020 into 2021, not to mention the previous 3 years prior to that, which were all pretty goddamn horrible.
By addressing the problem and punishing the wrongdoing.
Exactly, right. But also from a therapeutic point of view, I think it's important for all of us to talk this out. So,
yes,
you know, I may be asking some of our interview guests on Wednesdays about their experiences through COVID. And I really want to address this from a sense that those of you who are feeling this post-traumatic stress, you're not alone. It's all of us. We're all experiencing that to some degree or another. It's various levels of it. Some people are experiencing very little of it. Some people are experiencing quite a bit of it, especially those people who had pretty serious bouts with COVID. But I think that's an important topic that we should revisit here on the show. It's not exactly a you know, a laugh a minute, but it's certainly going to be something that I think will help. And at the very least, it's going to help us here on the show.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, so we've come up with a pretty good list here then, Bob, right here of what needs to be done. We need to talk about it. Let's make that number one.
Yep.
Number two, we need to punish the evildoers in this, who caused the trauma in the first place.
Yeah.
And three, we need to take steps to make sure these things don't happen again, including passage of, at a minimum, the John Lewis Voting Rights Act.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
At least as a start. It's more than we have now by a long shot.
Well, I don't know exactly where we are right now as far as the process in the Senate. The proceedings were expected today to include a filibuster of the For the People Act by all the Republicans.
I think that'll be headed off because that filibuster, as I understand it, can't be launched until the bill is proposed on the floor, and that will happen about 30 minutes after we upload today's show.
Yes, absolutely. Something big will occur. I mean,
5:30 Eastern time on this Tuesday is when Schumer, I believe, plans to introduce this. And at that point, and I don't know the finer details of this, but when it appears that Republicans are going to attempt or begin to filibuster this, the Democrats will then table the issue and go on their July 4th break.
Oh.
And the purpose of this is, there's a strategy to everything that's being done here very carefully. It is Congress's hope, as I indicated in that not terribly funny, but interesting performance piece in the monologue about the fact that this period of time, this 2-week break, people are the Congress is and senators going back to their home districts.
Yeah,
and in that period of time, they will many of them will hold town meetings. And what activist groups are planning and have already planned and is already underway is to assault all of these lawmakers when they get back to their home districts with the kind of response that we saw when Republicans tried to kill the Affordable Care Act.
That's right.
That last time. And it was that uprising by the American people during breaks, during town hall meetings, that stopped the Republican attempt to kill the ACA.
That's right.
And it is the plan of activists to do the same thing this time.
Yep.
There are other things in play, of course. Manchin has proposed an alternative now that Obama's endorsed. I've read the proposal. I think it's very good. It doesn't address everything on the Democrats' wish list. It does address some things on the Republican wish list. But it gives us so much that we didn't have before. Let me see if I can...
Yeah, this is. I've got it right in front of me here, Buzz.
I have it too.
This version of the For the People Act, the version that's being debated today, this is the Joe Manchin iteration of this act. This has got the ban on gerrymandering. It's got automatic voter registration through the DMV. It's got requirements that states send mail-in absentee ballots to eligible voters if they're unable to vote in person.
Election day a public holiday.
Yeah. It also includes, on the downside, and this is a separate topic of conversation, it also includes a national voter ID requirement.
We cringe at that. However, if this accomplishes a number of things, it gets Republican support, even if it does support the big lie. The ID in this case can be as simple as a utility bill, a student ID card, which Republicans have tried to ban. So although it requires identification, it's a much more liberal ID requirement than what Republicans have enacted in states across the country.
Yeah.
So it's... It's not. It's more of a mirage. It's more of something. Yeah. It's something to keep the Republicans happy that won't really hurt us, and we get so much more out of it. The 15 days of early voting, like you said, the automatic registration, the end of partisan gerrymandering. This is the John Lewis, with some amendments. This is the John Lewis Voting Rights Act.
Yeah.
Voting Rights Advancement Act.
Mm-hmm.
And this is pretty excellent stuff. It gives us free and fair elections. And what's great about making this proposal, in addition to if the original proposal is not going to fly, the For the People Act, if that's not going to fly, this is not a bad substitute, which is why Obama's getting behind it. That and the fact that democracy itself is at stake.
Yeah.
This gives us an awful lot. And if Republicans vote against it, as we expect they will, that makes indelibly clear that even to Joe Manchin, I think,
yeah,
that it will be time to change, alter the filibuster rules to save democracy.
Mm-hmm.
I still have some optimism, not so much in Manchin himself, although I was very pleased to see that, and I said some weeks ago on the show, pretty soon Biden's going to have Manchin up to the White House. Well, it happened yesterday.
Yeah.
So get some popcorn, get a seat, and watch this two-week break. Watch what happens today. Mm-hmm. Watch the two-week break or whatever it is that follows, and then see what happens when the Democrats come back, because there are plans B and C at the ready. And perhaps a D plan as well.
Yeah.
This is only beginning today. And as I think has been clarified, but probably still bears repeating, today's vote isn't about the Voting Rights Act, either one of them.
Mm-hmm.
It's about whether to debate or discuss these things.
Yeah, yeah. And once this vote takes place, the break will give Joe Manchin time to stew. We're talking about bipartisan idealist Joe Manchin, I should say bipartisan performer Joe Manchin, because there's been reports that he's being influenced by the Koch organization to drag his feet on these things. And so the idea here is that when the Republicans filibuster this, this is going to piss off Joe Manchin. And there may be some time here for Joe Manchin to swing around, to pull a U-turn and say, you know what? Fuck you. I'm going to stand by. I'm going to join up with this effort, this Norm Ornstein idea, to make it a 41 vote threshold
This is apparently the necessary series of hoops we have to jump through to get there. Manchin does not support the For the People Act, but he does support the Voting Rights Advancement Act. Although he doesn't support For the People, the Act, he may support opening debate on it. He may vote, especially after his little meeting with Biden yesterday, he may vote to at least allow debate on it. And that certainly opens it up. I know this, it seems like a waste of time to people, and I hate wasting time as much as anybody, but there appears to be a series of hoops that we need to jump through. And those hoops include forcing the Republicans to go on record as being against voting rights, whether it's the Democratic For the People Act or the very bipartisan John Lewis Voting Rights Advancement Act.
Mm-hmm.
If they say no to both of those, they will have made their position indelibly clear.
Yeah.
And perhaps they will do that, but that will be a valuable tool for Democrats. So we need to get them on record as being against fair elections.
Yeah, yeah. And look, this is all tied into what happened on January 6th. This is all of one big block of awfulness. It was the all of Donald Trump's lies about the election. That's what's been codified state by state in all of these punitive, horrible disenfranchisement voting laws, Georgia, Texas, Florida, elsewhere.
Everything the national GOP is doing right now is based on the big lie.
Yep. And I always go back to what I said on the Stephanie Miller Show the day after Election Day last year, where I held up a sign. I held up my Tim Russert sign, and it said, fuckery, fuckery, fuckery.
Right.
And what have we seen since then? Nothing but fuckery from these guys. They want to erase. And you know what? This actually kind of ties back into the PTSD a little bit. They want to erase everything that happened in the previous 4 years.
They want to cash in on humans' desire to erase what happened over the last
four years. And so they're going to enable that erasing. The big erasure is what's going on right now. And they're doing it by distractions regarding everything from Hunter Biden to President Sippy Cup and everything in between. They want people to focus on everything except the previous year or the previous 5 years that we had to endure as a nation. And we can't
They have for years now wanted people to focus on anything but the actual issues. It's always been Dr. Seuss or your hamburgers or whatever. It's never. And it's this ridiculousness, as ridiculous as this ridiculousness is, is the basis for the platform of the Republican Party nationally and at state level.
Okay, well, you know, there's so much going on in the world that can make it difficult for us to relax and decompress. Yeah, no shit. Yeah, here we are. Oh, my God. Twitter, everything. If you're following this, vote on the For the People Act, or if you're going to a diner with your mom, it's always difficult to relax and to decompress. But now there are CBD gummies called Sunday Scaries just for you. So if you're looking for a way to decompress, Sunday Scaries can help. Visit SundayScaries.com. Use the promo code SEXYLIBERAL, all one word, at checkout to get 25% off your order. That's 25% off at SundayScaries.com with the promo code SEXYLIBERAL. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. These products are not intended for use by persons under the age of 18 years old. That's SundayScaries.com, promo code SEXYLIBERAL. Thank you.
The Bob Seska Show. What's on your mind? She said you could have done better. Yeah, but I don't really mind. He asked, is that Springsteen or Dylan that you're quoting from? And why is it every time I turn around, it looks like you were starting to run?
It's impossible. It's impossible for Michael McDermott to write a shitty song.
Apparently.
Convinced. This is Michael McDermott, a song called The Things You Want, and it's from his brand new album What in the World. Link in the description, michael-mcdermott.com. yeah, this should be on your playlist. This should be on everyone's playlist, this album. Unfucking believable. So yeah, nice. bobsuska.com/music to submit your stuff. You know what I almost forgot to mention at the top of the show by way of a programming note is next week I am on vacation.
What?
Yeah, I'm taking a break. So next week, no shows next week. Sorry. I'm not going anywhere in particular other than lots of different places on my bicycle. And I'm very much looking forward to that. We haven't.
That'll be your holiday road. Well, I hope it helps your PTSD. And you know what? I think it will.
I think it will. You know, it's a week in which I prepare to turn 50. That's
there's
in my week.
Be, to, yeah. You kid. There's got to be a tremendous feeling of freedom, to feel the wind on that bicycle.
Oh, my God. Don't even get me started. Coming out of the isolation of the pandemic and getting on my bike and riding my bike.
Feeling the breeze.
You know what? For several years, I was off my bike. I didn't do a whole lot of bike riding. Maybe once or twice I would go out each year. But now I feel like those days when I first started riding my bike, maybe back in 2007, I first started really seriously riding.
You fall down a lot?
Actually, no. The only time I ever, you know what? I fell twice.
Well, you said it was like the early days, so I just assumed.
Yeah, I know. I mean, when I started seriously riding, it was just 2007. There were a couple of occasions when I was just standing upright on my bike, not moving an inch, and I just fell over. I was still getting used to the clipless pedals, the pedals where you clip your shoe, where your shoe is actually attached to the pedal. Right. And then one time I was hit by a car and broke my back. So that was a whole other kind of fall. 2008. I had a nice 2008.
I don't even know what to say about that. Yeah, you've been through a lot of traumas, my friend.
A few, I think. But yeah, it's just so wonderful to get out in the fresh air and the sunshine and to really push myself. And that's what I do. It's not like a boardwalk bike ride.
You're a little obsessive that way.
Yeah. Yeah, when I get on my bike, I go full throttle until I can't go full throttle anymore. And then I come home and I fall asleep. So it's great. It's great fun. And it's very therapeutic, too, to be able do that.
I believe it is. Exercise good for all of us.
Getting back into things. So, yeah, the point being is that next week, what's a week from today? What is the date? Week of the 28th. No shows all that week. So, but we'll be back firing on all cylinders for, July, starting July 6th. We'll be back, Buzz and I.
I will try not to send you any packages that would raise your stress level.
Well, you know, we're not doing that anymore, though. Kimberly's not washing the groceries anymore. She did that. Kimberly, for an entire year, would go grocery shopping. Then she would come home and she would spend an hour washing all of the groceries at the sink. And, she was really relieved to not have to do that anymore. And it was her own choice. Sure. I wasn't forcing her to do that. That was her decision.
I think everybody at least wiped their groceries or did something at first, until we knew that, surface contact was not the form of transmission. Very effective one.
So let's get into Alex Jones and Roger Stone here for a second, because this is a fun story. I like this story. It's one of the better stories in the news this week. Alex Jones and Roger Stone being investigated by the FBI for their involvement in the insurrection. Yes. And Buzz, as you know, I was on this back in February because Alex Jones actually confessed on his stupid fucking show. He confessed to this. He confessed to coordinating with the White House to lead the crowd from the January 6th rally at the Ellipse all the way down to the Capitol.
You caught him in the act and you called it out immediately. But see, and this is just more evidence that the wheels of justice turn slowly, and it seems even slower when it takes us a little while to find out what's going on behind the scenes.
Yeah.
But it is very exciting and happy and fun that these guys are being scrutinized. I'm equally excited to hear that this investigation is now spreading to at least one and perhaps more members of Congress. And it's about freaking time, because there are Republican members of Congress who were very much a part of that attack on our government on January 6th. They must be caught, tried, and punished.
An unnamed U.S. official told the Washington Post, quote, "We're investigating potential ties between those physically involved in the attack on the Capitol and individuals who may have influenced them, such as Roger Stone, Alex Jones, and Stop the Steal organizer Ali Alexander." Now, the important thing about that, as you're subliminally suggesting to us, Buzz, is that, Ali Alexander decided to start the Stop the Steal rally, but then it was commandeered and micromanaged by the White House and probably Trump himself, because that's the sort of shit that he gets engaged in. And so this was not just Roger Stone, Alex Jones, Mike Flynn, Ali Alexander, and all the rest. This was a White House operation. Here is Alex Jones confessing to coordinating with the White House on January 6th.
"Then the White House told me three or four, we're going to have you lead the march. The Secret Service, before Trump finishes, 30 minutes before or so, we'll lead you to a point, take you out of the front row, and lead you to the place where they want you to start the march, and Trump will tell people, go, and I'm going to meet you at the Capitol."
There you go. That's all you need to know.
And he's not just confessing there, but he's also implicating Trump. This is all very exciting. And what's further exciting about going after Roger Stone and Alex Jones is that those are paths that lead inevitably to Donald Trump.
That's right.
Patience and persistence.
Yeah, yeah. Donald Trump loves his gophers, his errand boys, his, as we used to say in radio, his interns.
Because
he's treating Alex Jones and Roger Stone like interns, basically. He's like, okay, you guys are going to do my dirty work here.
And bring me a slushie.
Yeah.
Yes. And Trump money, $2.7 million of Trump money went into that insurrection. Nearly $3 million of Trump money went into that insurrection all roads lead to Trump.
Yeah.
It's a long and winding road, but we're on that path. We are headed there. Patience and persistence.
Jones promoted the event vigorously, it says here in the Washington Post, called for 1 million marchers and told his viewers on January 1, 5 days before the event, the insurrection. Roger Stone, I was doing the Alex Jones voice. Roger Stone spent some substantial time with Trump in Florida just a few weeks ago, and I'm told big things are afoot, and Trump's got major actions up his sleeve.
Do you have papers for that, Alex?
Do you have a coupon for maybe some laser surgery on that voice box, Alex? Maybe
documents you can wave.
I got the documents right here. I got to prove it. I got it all right here, and just take them out here and read them. Okay, this is a printout from Infowars.com. This is the reputable news site.
So, meanwhile, speaking of crooks who surround Donald Trump, Maddie the Squid is in trouble. I'm so glad to finally see Matthew Calamari popping up in the news. We've been talking about him a lot recently because of, you know, all of Trump's mafia-style goombas that surround him. You know, I always remember Michael Cohen testifying before Congress and talking about Alan Weisselberg and Rob Lieberman and Matthew Calamari. Of course, you got to have someone named Matthew Calamari. He's like Luca Brasi.
I just, this is your reminder that calamari is best served breaded and fried.
New York prosecutors are investigating whether top Trump Organization executive Matthew Calamari received tax-free fringe benefits as part of their probe into whether former President Donald Trump's company and its employees illegally avoided paying taxes on such perks. This is a similar thing to what Weisselberg is going through. They didn't report all of these things that they're fringe benefits they're getting from the Trump Organization. And the big question of the hour regarding this story, Buzz, is this.
Yes.
Do they remain loyal to Trump and go to prison, or do they flip and save themselves? And I can't even believe that there's a debate. There's kind of a mental debate going on with them.
There's one other option. The Russian mob kills them because it was Weisselberg's job to launder Russian money.
Mm-hmm.
And in a disturbing visual, we're seeing Trump and Weisselberg show up every day for the last number of days at Trump Tower in New York, complete with the police with the helmets and the guns to protect them. And the fact that Weisselberg is still showing up at work every day with Trump in that building is an indication that Weisselberg is standing by Trump despite the pressure that's being applied on him by prosecutors. This indicates that Weisselberg might not flip. And it has been speculated that he fears death by the Russian mob more than he fears prison. I'll take either one.
Yeah.
But I think he's going to get nailed nevertheless, one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
And again, all of this is a path to Trump.
Wasn't there a scene in Godfather Part 2 where the one guy who's going to testify against Michael Corleone is influenced by Tom Hagen, Robert Duvall in the movie, to kill himself in the bathtub, to just draw a warm bath, slice his wrists open, and kill himself? And maybe that's the fate of Matthew Calamari and Alan Weisselberg that's being presented to them by Donald Trump in some of these meetings. I don't know.
I mean, it's speculation, but the reality is that Weisselberg and Trump are showing up to work every day over this past week.
Yeah.
To work in Trump Tower and probably to converse.
Yeah.
And this indicates that Weisselberg is, even with this federal investigative pressure on him, is sticking by his man.
Yeah.
And it may be because he fears other reprisals far worse than he fears prison.
And the question that I am perpetually going back to, Buzz, is this one. There has to be, and this goes back to what you were saying about the Russian mafia, which is really well put. There has to be something else, some other anvil that's being dangled over the heads of these guys. Because this is just the fact that I have zero respect. I have nothing but animosity, resentment, and hatred toward Donald Trump. And so maybe I just don't get it. And that could easily be the case. But why are so many people putting their lives and their livelihoods on the line for Donald Trump, putting their reputations on the line, risking prison for Donald fucking Trump, of all people, this cartoon character.
It's hard to imagine any reason other than the one that's been put forth, mm-hmm. which is there's something that he fears more than prison.
Yeah.
And maybe Trump has something on him, but I think fear of reprisal from the Russians whose money he laundered would be my top concern.
Well, with people like Donald Trump, they desperately need to have some sort of muscle standing behind them in the shadows. They're, you know what
without
I mean?
It, he's the Wizard of Oz. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Because the without only the
flying,
way,
they're the flying monkeys.
When the shit hits the fan, Donald Trump can always say, "Hey, Luca, come on over here. Go take care of that for me, Luca." And then Luca steps up and goes, "May their first child be a masculine child." You know, this is the whole Luca Brasi. Donald Trump's got some sort of muscle, or he's got some sort of compromise. I feel bad for Kimberly sometimes because I'll occasionally go off on a rant completely separated from the podcast. We'll just be watching Lawrence O'Donnell or Rachel Maddow sometime, and I'll just start ranting about whatever. And last night I was ranting.
You do have the courtesy to hit pause when you do that.
I know. Yes, we do. We hit pause a lot to the point where sometimes we forget, and then we'll tune in MSNBC the next day, and it'll be like 10 o'clock, and we're like, why is Chris Hayes still on?
Because we fell asleep debating it.
Yeah, that's right. But I was saying last night that for that 4-year span while Donald Trump was president, I am absolutely positive. And of course, I've got no direct evidence to prove this, but from my perspective, I will bet you that Donald Trump and Jared Kushner and Stephen Miller and all of those inner circle guys spent that 4 years just pouring through all kinds of classified FBI files on not only their enemies, but also their allies, their friends.
Or some kind of surveillance and research or investigation of their own. Or through other sources. Maybe they didn't use the FBI for that, although Trump tried, certainly, with a number of his enemies, as we now know. And some of the latest we found out at one point today, we just found out that Trump wanted to send infected tourists to the U.S. to Guantanamo.
Yeah, to Gitmo.
That doesn't go to what we're saying. What that goes to is that we're going to be learning things for years that Trump did. But one of the other things we've learned in the last 24 hours is he tried to get the FCC, the SEC, and the DOJ. Justice Department, DOJ, to go after Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, and Jimmy Kimmel and some of the other late night shows.
Exactly. And, you know, it mostly he got laughed off and it didn't get done, thankfully. The point of all of this is we're going to be learning for years about the stuff that he did. So collecting other information about enemies or perceived enemies isn't at all surprising, and I expect that will be among the things we will continue to uncover.
Yeah, and what a fucking wuss. He watches SNL, and by the way, I would love to know which episode of SNL set him off.
It was a rerun that he saw. Yeah, I don't know which episode it was, but it was mocking him, and he couldn't understand why they were doing that to him and not, say, Adam Schiff, for example. I don't know that he cited that example, but as opposed to his Democratic counterparts and people he perceived as enemies, he thought the equal time rule ought to apply to satire comedy.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, see, that's what he was asking the FCC about. Why can't there be an equal time thing? Can't you go after them for not doing like the right-wing version of SNL to defend me, to stop them from being so mean to me? Wow. Exactly. It's just, what a baby. What a whiny diaper
and
baby.
Some of this is fun to find out after the fact that. Some of it is terrifying to find out, like the Guantanamo thing.
Yeah.
Those are the kinds of things that are going to continue to unfold over the next 10 years.
That's right. And also, remember all of that as a prelude to something that he could pick up on again if he runs for president and wins again in 2024. I'm just throwing that out there. I mean, I don't know if that's going to be the case, but you know.
I haven't seen the actual polling, but I understand that Trump is no longer in first place among Republican choices for president in 2024. he continues to shrink in real power. Now, his perceived power is still scary enough to Republican lawmakers in Washington that they still obey it, but it really is becoming more hollow every day. That's a wonderful development we could be very happy about.
Yeah. He's shrinking until he becomes tiny Trump again, right?
Right. Oh, maybe we'll get the joy of dragging that out again someday.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Yeah. Well, I also want to talk about Greg Abbott here, talk about Trumpism on the march. A couple of things happening in Texas that just set me off. Oh my God. One is not a major thing, but it's a pretty dastardly thing at that.
Yeah, the good. Other thing I'm glad you're addressing this.
Yeah, I'm going to get to that in just a few minutes here. But first, we'll take a break and come back with more show right after these words.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius Bath and Body Products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
Bob Seska!
From the
This is awesome. This is Tommy Ray Brown, the Tommy Ray Brown Band. Song called Midnight Choir. Holy shit. Link in the description to support Tommy Ray. Man, I love this. Yeah.
Yeah. It's dark, it's strong, and it's just what I like.
Yeah, yeah. One of the recording artists that Jody Hamilton brought to us, introduced us
excellent.
To. Yeah, really happy to hear this and a whole lot more. BobSeska.com/music to submit your songs. Thank you for doing that. Yep.
Oh, and also, today's show is also brought to you in part by the new fitness club, Jordan's Gym, located right next to the Kristen Cinema. That's a dad joke. That is a dad joke, okay?
There you go.
Yeah.
That is a dad joke.
That is a dad joke.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Well, you know, Jen Psaki really nailed Jim Jordan.
Oh, my God. Did you see that? She's great. Yeah, yeah. She's great. Awesome. So many of us now want to marry Jen Psaki if that ever becomes an option.
Yeah, sharp as a tack. This is the kind of shit the Democrats need to do more of. Jim Jordan tweeted, average gas price June 2020, $2.21. June 2021, $3.07. President Biden's economy, he writes.
Right. Yeah. Yes.
And he says, okay, well, look, because Joe Biden's president, gas prices have gone up by 60 cents or whatever that is.
And then
Jen Psaki quote tweets Jim Jordan and says, you forgot to mention that gas prices are the same now as they were in June 2018, or that this time last year, unemployment was 11.1%. Today, it's 5.8%. POTUS agrees families shouldn't pay more at the pump. That's why he's opposed to GOP proposals to raise the gas tax.
She's even better than the CJ that we grew to love on the West Wing.
Yeah.
And here's why. I saw another clip of a reporter asking Jen Psaki, why didn't President Biden tell President Putin, give him a list of possible targets in Russia, should there be any more hacking in the United States? And without a moment's hesitation, Jen Psaki answers, because we don't preview our punches. And she was just that fast on it. And that's exactly the answer. It was the right answer. It was with a minimum of words, and it was without hesitation.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe Biden is so incredibly lucky, and I think he knows it. He chose her, after all, to have her as a White House spokesperson.
If you notice, they can't really pin anything on Joe Biden right now and the Biden administration, right? They've got
and maybe that's why we've that's why the GOP has delved into the absurd.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
they have nothing in reality to pick on.
Well, that's why critical race theory is a thing now, which is something that I'm not even going to discuss because it's bullshit. This is a bullshit screaming match that the Republicans are having. Racist screaming match.
If you want us to tell you why sometime, we will. But that's the short version. It's bullshit.
Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, meantime, they're saying, well, there's impending inflation, they're saying. But there's no inflation yet.
What you're seeing are aberrations in supply and demand that were caused by the pandemic. These are after effects. And they're isolated to certain things.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not economy-wide, so it isn't inflation. It's nothing like the 1970s. And it will go away as these supply chain problems are addressed. It has nothing to do with the economy or inflation. These are simply supply chain glitches that we're going to have to pay a little more for a while, and then things will not only go back to normal, but I think continue their upward climb.
They're also saying there was a gas crisis. There was no gas crisis. No, there was a temporary hacking that caused some problems in the Northeast, but that was it. It's over now. It's fine. Yeah, but that's the point. They don't really have anything on Joe Biden. And if this guaranteed set of payments going out to parents, these child guaranteed minimum income payments, I think it's $300 per child, maybe
the child tax credit,
something like $3,500 a year. Suddenly people are going to start receiving checks to help take care of their kids. Jesus, all of this stuff is going to lead to some very solid things. You want to know why the Republicans are panicked? You want to know why they're changing all of these election laws? Because they know Joe Biden right now is Teflon. They know the American Rescue Plan is going to be a huge success if it isn't already. And they know that that's going to negatively affect them in the 22 midterms.
When you can't win, honestly, you cheat. That's exactly the Republican way.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it turns out that one of the biggest red hats, and I should have known this years ago. I should have known this during the Jade Helm fiasco. Remember Jade Helm, where it was during the Obama years? There were going to be military exercises, annual military exercises, and part of it was going to take place in Texas, and it was just going to be basically practice, which the military does all the time.
In military supporting Texas.
And Greg Abbott went bananas when that occurred. Yes. Of course, the entire right wing went nuts because, Barack Obama's staging some sort of martial law here, which never actually happened. Greg Abbott sent the Texas State Guard to monitor the United States military during their exercises.
For show.
To keep the American military from taking over Texas.
And that was nothing more than a show to appeal to his lowest common denominator base.
Yeah. And so it's no wonder why Greg Abbott has become one of the top shelf red hats in the wake of Donald Trump, basically adopting Trumpism as his own thing, owning the libs as his thing. Couple of instances here this week. First, you remember the Democrats walked out of that
the Texas legislature
that session,
to stop a voter suppression law,
right, which succeeded in working. And then Greg Abbott decided, hey, you know what, screw you, nanny neener, I'm going to defund the legislature as payback. And that is exactly what he did in a in a budget bill that included a line item about funding the state legislature. Greg Abbott vetoed that line item. So there is going to be no funding of the state legislature until they either, I imagine they're going to override the veto. But
what's really weird about that is, and important to know, I think, is that that veto of funding the legislature it doesn't affect their salaries. Everybody still, all the lawmakers still get paid.
Oh, interesting.
What happens is there's no money to pay the staffers or buy staplers or tape or pencils or anything else, much less computers and other things. It just it freezes the bureaucracy, and the lawmakers, Republican and Democrat, get to continue to collect their salaries. I have to wonder sometimes. I know that the red hat voters who support Greg Abbott love as much as he does owning the libs. Do they feel the same way about defunding the legislature? I don't know. And this is a state that loves to cut off power, both voting power and electrical power.
I wonder if it also includes money for security, because that would be of paramount importance to Democrats and some Republicans.
That may be a separate fund. Yeah, separate fund.
I mean, we're talking about a Red Hat Army out there that is plotting their next insurrection, and we've already seen them occupying state-level government buildings, going back to Liberate Michigan and Liberate Ohio and Liberate Virginia and all that shit. And so, plus we've got Republicans who are terrified of the Red Hat Army, who are legislating because they're terrified of the Red Hat Army. And you've got from the congressional level all the way down. And so I wonder if this also defunds the security. I don't know what kind of security they have.
I would expect that to be a separate item. But what point is funding security for a building that's mostly empty?
That's true. Yeah, yeah.
I
would imagine they at least have to go to work, even if it's without their staff.
I'm just saying this should look bad to all voters, not just Democrats.
Absolutely. And
whether it does or not, I don't know.
The thing that should also look really, really bad to all voters, irrespective of whether you're a Trump supporter or you're a Bernie supporter or an Elizabeth Warren or a Biden supporter, we all love dogs, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Greg Abbott the other day vetoed a bill that would protect dogs from abuse.
And is supported by Texas sheriffs.
Yeah, exactly right. And Greg Abbott vetoes this. Why the fuck would anyone veto this and endanger dogs? I mean, of all people, what does he think? Is he owning the libs? Is that what he's saying? Like, I guess the liberals like to protect the animals. The animal rights people and so on are liberals. So this law will then screw them in some
way. Maybe it's because the Bidens love dogs. I don't know. I don't maybe that's his own the libs angle. But you're very right. You know, I wasn't sure a couple of years ago about the concept of Republicans acting out of a perceived need to own the libs. I wasn't sure I bought that concept at first a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But it's crystal clear, and it couldn't be more clear in Greg Abbott's case.
Yeah.
That's absolutely what he does consistently. It is the motive for everything he does. And that Texas voters would continue to allow this. Meanwhile, you have Beto O'Rourke going door to door, house to house, window to window, talking to people and working to turn Texas blue.
Yeah.
Florida is also well positioned. Well, that may not be entirely true. But Florida is certainly susceptible.
Did you just fact check yourself?
I did. I have to say I'm a little less confident about the influx of people to Florida turning the state blue than I was before.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that it is a growing force here.
Yeah.
And has wielded its influence in recent elections. So I still hold out some hope. The point is both of these states are worth fighting for.
Yeah.
As much as you may hate both of them, you need them. They're both worth fighting for.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a chance that if, as Democrats, as progressives, we call this stuff out properly, there's a chance we can get rid of some of these dudes.
The Texas Humane Legislation Network tweeted that Greg Abbott vetoed SB 474, the Safe Outdoor Dogs Bill. They said this bill would have allowed for a clearer definition of adequate shelter for dogs and outlawed the use of heavy chains. THLN will continue advocating to make Texas a safer place for dogs. And God damn it, I don't understand this. Is there some sort of dog abuse lobby in Texas that is paying off Greg Abbott to be an asshole or something? I don't know.
Greg Abbott endorses heavy chains. There's your headline.
All right. Oh, God. And, you know, I always go back to this. Anyone who either abuses animals or enables the abuse of animals
or delights in the viewing of that.
Exactly. Is probably doing the same thing to human beings.
Or had it done to them.
Yeah.
You know that children who abuse animals, cats and things like that, grow up to be abusers.
Yeah, exactly right.
If not caught in time.
Yeah.
I just can't imagine what his motivation is. I don't know who he was trying to own here, but I hope they keep stepping on their feet in pursuing this increasingly ridiculous agenda.
Yeah.
And I hope even further that Democrats use this in states across the country, most especially Texas and Florida.
Absolutely. Well, one bit of good news here at the end of the show as we wrap up. The Biden administration is going to make gender confirmation surgery available to transgender veterans through the VA and their health care coverage. The VA Secretary Dennis McDonough said that, quote, for far too long and for far too many, respect and care were not the norm for our LGBTQ plus community and our veterans, adding that this is why the VA is determined to continue down that path, the path of progress. The National Center for Transgender Equality estimates there are approximately 134,000 transgender veterans. So that's all fantastic news.
That's amazing.
And this is the way it should be.
And the Biden Justice Department has ruled that discrimination against trans people is a violation of the Civil Rights Act.
Yep.
On the basis of gender. And so progress is being made. And it shows what can be done at the federal level to crush some of these stupid Republican laws, some of the trans bathroom laws that have cropped up in red states around the country.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to pick up on the trans topic in our postmortem show. There's a trans woman weightlifter who has made the Olympic team, and you can bet that the Republicans are going to indiscriminately lose their spadoinkle over this.
The heads will explode, yes.
We're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about Sheldon Whitehouse. Sheldon Whitehouse, you idiot.
Yes.
God damn it. God damn it. Unforced errors drive me bananas. And this was a fairly major unforced error for Sheldon Whitehouse. We're going to get into that. Plus, Dan Bongino and a whole lot more. That's coming up on our Patreon page, patreon.com/Bob Seska Show. Or, quite simply, this is the easy way to remember it. This is the easy way to bookmark it, BobSeskaShow.com. Tell all your friends, why don't you? Sign up for $5 a month, and you get two postmortem shows every week. We record that right after this music is done playing. It's an extra 20 minutes of bonus content, bonus conversation, whether it's between me and Buzz or on Thursdays, me and the Goth Ninjas. We keep on talking. It's the best part of the show, don't you know? It's the part that you don't want to miss out on. So bear that in mind. All the real listeners are listening to the postmortem show and getting the full scoop.
It's the part where we reveal our deepest, darkest secrets.
That's right. Or sometimes we don't. But yeah, again, that's $5 a month. Plus, you support this fully independent podcast, and I can't thank you enough for that. Yeah. So again, that's BobSeskaShow.com. That's our Patreon page. Meanwhile, go to Facebook, go to Twitter, search for Buzz Burbank, follow Buzz on the social media. We got to get you on Instagram. I think you might already be on Instagram, but we got to get some Buzz photos on Instagram.
Really?
It's not mandatory, I'm saying, but I'm just saying.
Thank you.
Yeah, I always have fun with the Instagram. Okay, that's it for the show. We will see you on Wednesday. Larry Charles tomorrow. Seinfeld's Larry Charles, the director of Borat, comic genius Larry Charles joins us on the interview show tomorrow. Take care, folks. Bye-bye.
Get somebody vaccinated this week.